Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for Words of Wisdom. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. Tonight, like every Wednesday night, is an opportunity afforded to each and every one of us by God for us to come together in fellowship and explore the Word of God together. I pray that each and every one of you had a good week, and I pray that you received the blessings and the favor and the grace that was necessary for you to get to today. As always, I'm honored and privileged to be able to go before the people of God, and I don't take it lightly. And I thank each and every one of you who take time out of your busy schedule week after week and come together as we explore the Word of God. Our lesson tonight, the title of it is, When God Asks Anything of You, His provisions are already in place waiting for you. We come in from 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, verses 1 through 16. And as that title was given to me, I had to ponder a little while because, you know, God asks us to do things that we don't do. Are we not listening to his voice? But the scripture lets me know that the provisions are already there. Sometimes you don't go to accomplish what God has set out for you to do. And other times, you hear the voice and you decide to do what you want to do. But I want you to know that God is faithful. He will never set you up to fail. And if God asks anything of you, his provision is already in place, waiting for you. You could think a little bit about maybe something God has asked you to do, and you knew it came from God. And you could just say, you know, let me do it. Because that's where your success is. So at this time, I'm going to play a song, and it's appropriate for the lessons. Because the title of this, the song, is called A Great Work. God is doing a great work in each and every one of our lives. You may not understand it, you may not realize it, but God is doing a great work in you. Listen to the words of the song, be blessed, and be prayerful for our Bible study on tonight.
Sometimes there are obstacles in the road that can leave you feeling low, and you don't know how to move forward. And sometimes there are turns you wanna take, but the way gets hard to trace. Now you're wondering, how did you get here? But don't you give up until you see how God is ordering your steps so you can walk into your seats. He that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform. God is faithful to perform. He that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform it. Our God is faithful. The Lord and receive a harvest for your seed. And in due time, God will blow your mind with what He planted inside of you to bless the world that's
blown. He
has begun
a great work in you.
He's faithful to perform. God is faithful to perform. Oh, He that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform it. God is faithful to perform it. So if you ever get discouraged, speak to yourself and say, God is doing a great work. He's doing a great work. He's doing a great work in me. God is doing a great work. He's doing a great work. He's doing a great work in me. So what should be considered as we proceed is that this work did not begin with you. Our mother's mother and father's father planted seeds when we were but the faint notion of a dream in their mind. They hope for a harvest, a legacy, a great work. So may your next step forward help us to connect the dots and see this picture of greatness. In fact, I hear God say that you are His workmanship.
Of that song was God is doing a great work. You know, the song told us, you know, to be encouraged. Don't give up and don't get dismayed. The song also talk about the seeds that you have planted. Not only your seeds, but the seeds, he said, of your mama and your grandmother planted on your behalf. You can expect and look for the harvest. We're going to come into our lesson tonight once we go to the throne of grace. Tonight is the first Wednesday in the month of February 2020. And at the first Wednesday of the month, we bring our prayer list to God. And we ask that each and every one of you pray for those people on the prayer list. So today, I'm going to open the mic right now for Sister Pam. And Sister Pam, your mic is open.
Good evening, everybody. Prayer list for 2020, the first Wednesday of February. Esther Lucas, Jim and Kathy Hartman, Diane, Dustin, and Derek McBride, Mary Hodges, Lance Brown, the Martin family, Tammy Ditto, Berlin Garrett, Darrett Olive, Maddie Lala and family, Devonda Caples, Sharon, Maisha Bryan, Emma Carr and family, Shamika Alexander, Nini, Beverly Ferguson, Daniel, Jasmine, Elizabeth Smith, Cedric Edwards, Rolanda Lacey, and Florida Cager. Father, we thank you tonight for life. Thanking you for your son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you, Lord, for another Wednesday night Bible study. We ask that you continue, Lord, blessing our Bible study and continue blessing and anointing our sister in Christ and our teacher, Minister Diane. Lord, we lift up each person in prayer whose name was called on tonight. Lord, we know that all power is in your hand, and whatever your will, it shall be done. We pray for each person on our prayer list that you supply their every need, physical, mentally, financially, and spiritual. And we keep them, we pray that you keep them, O Lord Jesus, covered in your precious blood. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory, Lord Jesus. We give you all the honor. We just thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are. We thank you for your mercy, for your compassion, and for your love. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God.
Thank you so much, Sister Pam, for that beautiful prayer for those on the list who asked for it. And I just pray that God allow the need to be met, and that the word of God don't return void. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And as I said earlier, our lesson tonight title is, When God Asks Anything of You, His provisions are already in place, waiting for you. Now that's mighty good. You know, that's how awesome God is. And we coming from 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, verses 1-16. And I ask that you would read the whole 17th chapter, so you could really understand and see the hand of God in the lives of his people. Well, far as the background, I wanted to let you know that the author of 1 and 2 Kings is unknown, although Jewish tradition holds that the author is Jeremiah. Even though there can be no final certainties in this matter. You see, our lesson is talking about a character, and his name is Elijah. And Elijah was a prophet of God. You see, the prophet Elijah is one of the most interesting and colorful of all biblical characters. Yet, his life was so filled with turmoil that today, if we had to say anything about him, we might say that he was up one day and down the next. That's how it seems sometime in our lives. Yet he was a prophet of God. And I don't want you to get confused tonight with Elijah and Eliza. They are two different people. Both of them were prophets. Both of them was a prophet for Israel. They were Israelites, and they served under the king of the northern kingdom, You know, they had the northern and the southern kingdom when the 12 tribes of Israel split up. So the prophet Eli is one of the men that God used in the Bible, because Eli was at times bold and decisive, and at other times fearful and unsure. We have much we can learn from him. You see, there are ways in which Elijah demonstrated the power of God at one time, and then in an instant, he plundered into deep depression. You see, in the Old Testament, a prophet was a spokesperson of God. The prophet admonished, warned, directed, encouraged, interceded, teaches, and counsels. See, he brings the word of God to the people of God and called the people of God to respond, calling them to repent, and he was given warning. You know, Elijah, and this is one thing you should look at. Elijah did not seek to be God's messenger. Instead, God chose him for the job. And that's the same way God has a job for all of us. God didn't create anything without a purpose. Not you, nor I, nor Elijah. You know, and a man of God would bring the word of God to his people. Elijah was a human, just like many of us. Well, just like all of us. A man of similar hopes and dreams. He had weakness and shortcomings, but also a man with a deep faith in God. You know, plenty of times we feel like God can't use us. Are we not good enough? Are we not doing the things that God wants us to do enough? You know, we might say we don't study enough. Others may say they don't read enough. But you see, whatever Elijah was doing, he didn't go looking for God. God came looking for him. And as the Bible teaches, all of this was ordained before the foundation of the world. You see, Elijah was a bold, direct, to the point prophet of God. By speaking the prophecies of God, he made fierce enemies, but his enemies could not overpower him because God was with them. And just like the scripture lets us know, if God be for you, who can win against you? Elijah is one of the best known prophets to the Jews because they were expecting Elijah to return someday. You know, when Jesus asked the disciples, who do the people say that I am? They told him that many people think that he was Elijah because the Jews are still looking for Elijah to return. See what happened. Elijah was taken up to heaven and apparently never tasted death. Because if you read 2 Kings 2, 11 and 12, it says, and it came to pass, as they still went on and talked. Now, he was walking with God, and they was walking, and they was talking, and they said, as it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them into sunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind to heaven. So it's said that Elijah never tasted death. And we could think of another character in the Bible, Enoch. They say him and God was walking through the garden in the coolness of the day. And they just was, you know, I can't fully imagine, but I could imagine that it was just that good that God allowed him to keep walking, and they walked on away from him. And Enoch, as well as Elijah, never saw death. So we're going to get in our scripture, and I hope that background about Elijah helped you a little bit. And I want you to know nothing about Elijah we know until this chapter, 1 Kings, the 17th verse, is when we first see what God is doing with Elijah. So if we look at verse 17, 1 Kings chapter 17, first verse, it said, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of an inhabitant of Gilead, said to Ab. Ab was the king. Now, when we look at this, let me put y'all in a little better place. We know from what I just read that God chose Elijah as a prophet. And remember, the prophet of God went and told the people what God wanted them to know, good, bad, or evil. So God had given Elijah a message to take to King Ahab. And we right there now. So 17:1 saying, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitant of Gilead, said to Ahab, Ahab, the king, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew, no rain these years, but according to my word. You see, God sent Elijah to the king. The king was a very evil king. Because you see, God never leaves his people in the dark. He uses his prophets to tell the people what he was going to do, whether good or bad. So you can be sure that God always gives his people. It was the Israelites then, and now it's the children of God, the household of faith, the body of Christ. God does not leave us in the dark. We can believe this because the scripture says, God explains, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. That's in the book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 7. You see, this is when we first meet Elijah, when he was given the job by God to challenge the king, an evil king who ruled the northern kingdom. You see, Elijah went to him and prophesied that a drought was going to come upon the whole land. And it was because of Ahab, who was the king's evil ways. You see, here God uses Elijah the prophet to announce the punishment. And he also gave a message and warned the Israelites to change their ways. You see, King Ahab was an Israelite. You see, according to the Bible, one of the Israelites' most powerful ruler was King Ahab. You see, many considered him to be the worst ruler that ancient Israel ever had. And watch this. I know many of you may be familiar with the word Jezebel, a Jezebel in the Bible, but Jezebel was his wife, and she was more evil maybe than him, that she became symbolic for revengeful, malicious, immoral, and cruel. one of the cruelest women, one of the cruelest women throughout all history. You see, sometime when a person is called a Jezebel, y'all know how they say, look at that little Jezebel. It's not that they name or Jezebel, but it's considered to have the morals of King Ahab's wife, Jezebel. You see, when Ahab married Jezebel, he became the first Israelite king in the Bible who aligned himself to heathenism, idolatry, barbaric worship of false gods. He the one that built a temple for Baal. And he was just plain evil. But I'm going to tell you, watch this. You know how Satan set some things up for the bad and God turned it around for the good? Watch this. Satan had his couple, King Ahab and Jezebel, had his couple on the throne. But God had his man in the field, performing miracles and leading a revival against Baal's worshipers. You see, and what Elijah told King Ab that there would be a 3.5-year drought, and Elijah prayed for it because it was a part of God's judgment on the wickedness of the nation and its leaders. See, Ahab was doing anything and everything he wanted. His wife was just his work. But you know, when God gets tired, he said enough is enough. God know how to stop something. God know how to put things in order. God can turn anything around. God can do what he want to do because he's God. We just have to trust him. So as things is going on in the nation that we live, it may not be going the way we would like, and we may can see things that's absolutely not right. But there's a scripture in the book of Psalms that says, God has the hearts of the kings and the leaders in his hands, and he could drive and make them flow any way he desires. So just trust God, because God is aware of everything. He's aware of what everybody's doing. God don't sleep nor some slumber. You can depend that God is working it out for your good. So you see, if we look at the second verse through the sixth verse, you see what happened. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself in the brook of Shidon that is before the Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded a raven to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of God, for he went and dwelt at the brook of Shidon that is before the Jordan. See, God's telling you where it was at and why he's saying the Jordan, because he was on this side of the Jordan and he needed to get on the other side, and God is letting you know he's there so you know something is going to happen. And the raven brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank up of the brook. These verses here, lets us know that Elijah didn't seek to be God's messenger. We saw where he came, God came to him. God chose him for the job. But once God called him, he did not hesitate. He went straight on. See, and that's what we got to realize. Some of the, you know, we have to do what God say do in a timely manner, because it's important. Time is sometime of the essence. You see, even though it appears that Elijah's life would be threatened by the wicked king, Elijah set up to deliver the announcement to the king. You see, he gave the announcement, and he knew that the king was going to try to kill him because Jezebel, his wife, had already started killing prophets. And it was amazing that soon as Elijah gave the prophecy, it wasn't long that the brooks dried up. And with no rain, there was a drought. And so Elijah, after he gave the message, he got out of Dodge. You see, then God sent Elijah into hiding. See, even though Elijah knew he had to leave, I'm sure he didn't know where to go. But look at the hand of God. Then God sent Elijah into hiding. As the drought dried up the streams and withered the crops of the nation. You see, wherever God, or either whenever God has something for you to do, he never set you up to fail. You see, warned by God, Elijah hid near the brook of Kishon, where he is fed by a raven daily in the morning and the evening. You can be sure when God asks anything of you, his provisions are already in place waiting for you. All of God's assignments have provisions attached. God never asks you to do anything without providing the provisions needed to fulfill the intended purpose he's trying to accomplish. You know, God says it's not predicated on you. Philippians 2:13 say it is God who is willing, is doing the will and making you able to do what he want to accomplish. It is God that working in us to will and to do his good pleasure. It's never predicated on us, guys. So, God gave him the message. God knew he was going to dry everything up. He knew that Elijah had to get out of Dodge, so he told him which way to go, and he told him where to go. So Elijah went to the brook. The scriptures tell us that. And the raven brought him food, and it brought him meat, morning and night. What a wonderful God we serve. And just like God is providing everything for Elijah, anything that he has asked of you, the provisions are already there. You got to learn to walk to them. You see, God sent him the provisions, and he went where God said, and the provisions for him was there. You see, God is always working things out for our good. And he tells us that no weapon formed against us will prosper. And God always wants you to know when one door closes, God has the power, always willing and very much able to open another door. So don't get paralyzed with your circumstances, your situations, your adversities, your trials, or your tribulations. Trust God. And verse 7 through 11, 12 says, and it came to pass for a little while that the brook dried up. See, God sent him to the brook, and the brook was giving him water. But then the brook dried up. Come on now. The brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. That was verse 7. Verse 8 says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which is along Zidon, and dwell there. See, God is still directing his path. You know how many scriptures they say allow God to direct your path, order your footsteps? He's still doing it. He told him, get up from there. Now you go to Zarephath, and then, you know, it's by Zion, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. That is powerful. He sent him to the king. He did what he asked him to do for the king. The king was so angry, they wanted to kill him. He knew he had to leave, which he didn't know where to go. God gave him direction where he would have water to drink, bread to eat, and meat to get filled on at the brook. So you got to be obedient to God for what he tells you to do to receive what he has for you. So he, not a brook done dried out, but look what he tell him. He told him, go to Zarephath. He said, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So verse 10. So he rose and went to Zarephath. And when he had came to the gates of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in thy vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, bring me, I pray, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And then she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in my barrel, and a little oil in my cure. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. That's who God sent him to. That lady didn't have enough for herself or her child. But God brings Elijah to her and commands him to ask what he needed of her. And she said, look, I ain't got enough. I'm only going to make this last cake. Drink me some water, and me and my son is going to die because there is no more, and there's a drought in the land. And she knew a little bit about Elijah, and she believed he had faith in God. You see, in verse 13 say, and Elijah said to her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said. But make me therefore a little cake first. He said, I understand you're going to fix this for you and your son, and you just have a little bit. He said, but let me tell you this. Go do as you said, but make me a cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. That's mighty bold, huh? And not only did he want her to give him her last, but he wanted her to give it to him first. Verse 14 says, for thus said the Lord of Israel. So he said, look, the Lord is saying this, ma'am. She knew a little bit, but she didn't know it all. But he said, the Lord of Israel said that the barrel of meal will not waste, meaning it won't get empty. Neither shall the cure of oil fail until the day that the Lord sent it rain up on the earth. Okay? So this is what he tell a lady. You know, when we look at it, this must have been hard for the widow. Not only did he want some of what was already not enough, but he wanted him to feed her first and then make some, if any was left, as she probably thought, for her and her son. You see, but she agreed. And I could ask this question. When you really think it's God asking something for you to do, are you willing to give your last? You know, there was a lady when they was picking up tithes or something in the church in the Bible days in assembly, and one lady gave, you know, a penny. But Jesus admonished her so greatly that her name is appearing in the Bible. And he saw so much faith where others was given houses and lands and money and gold and silver. But he said that she gave her last. And he recognized it. And she is in the Bible forever for what she done. Just as well as this widow. We don't know her name, but she's in the Bible. And that's honor and glory. Would God have anything to honor you for? Are you willing to give your last? So what happened? He told her that she agreed to take care of the prophet, even though she had no money and only enough food for her and her son to eat their final meal. She trusted Elijah when he said she could trust in God. And just her believing in Elijah, what he said about God, that trust produced faith. You see, yet her faith was not completely in God at this time. Here we see that you only need the faith of the size of a mustard seed. You know, we hear that all the time, and this is one of the places where it fit the situation. She didn't understand completely. She didn't know it all the way. But because she trusted what Elijah said, that trust produced faith. We have to move sometimes, even though we don't really fully understand. But we will understand by and by. You don't have to understand it. You ain't got, like some people say, well, I ain't felt it, you know. I ain't seen no sign. God said, listen, he said, my sheep know my voice. If you hear God, everything else should be history. See, Elijah had told her that God would make her food last until the drought was over. And a little bit, you know, she only had enough for one meal. So when she, I don't know if she thought about what do I have to lose? So she did what the man of God told her to do. And verse 15 and verse 16 says, and she went and did according to the sayings of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Verse 16, our last verse for tonight, and the barrel of meal wasted not. Neither did the cure of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Many times God is trying to tell us something, but sometimes we move too fast. You know, plenty of times when you hear a word from God about handling a situation, circumstances, or something like that, and you begin trusting God, and then you take it and put it back in your hands, and you figure you could fix it, and you done thought of some genius type thing where you could make it work out, and you take it from God after you have given it to him. You take it back, and many times it turn out the outcome don't be so good. You know, they say if you're going to worry, don't pray. And we have to learn that when we pray, we have to stop worrying. Yes, it may not seem like the outcome is going to be good, but you can't tell the final results until it's over. If you stop in midstream, how you know what the hand of God has in store or what God intended to do? Stay in your lane. Get out the way and let God does what God does best. And you do what he asks us to do, to trust him. Not in some things, but in all things, through all things, through prayer and supplication. Make our request known unto God. Take it to him and leave it there. When you do that, you're making a statement, even if you don't say it. What you're really acknowledging is that God knows best. The Bible teaches us so much about being patient, waiting until your change comes. Let Jesus fix it for you, because he knows just what to do. Whenever you pray, let him have his way, and he will fix it for you. So you see in verses 15 and 16, it says that she did what Elijah asked her to do, and her meal never went out, and her oil never failed. You know, and it was just like the man of God, the prophet Elijah, had told her. You see, when we look at that, we can see that through her obedience to Elijah's request, God provided food enough for Elijah, the woman, and her son. Miraculously, the widow's barrel of flour and jar of oil never ran out. You see, this lesson for believers is that if we walk in fellowship with the Lord and obey him, we will be open to his will. Are you open to the will of God? And when we are in God's will, he fulfills all of our needs, and his grace and mercy to us will never run out. God said, believe me, my grace is sufficient. He's saying, if you would just seek me first, the kingdom of God, and all of my righteousness, seek me first, not 21st. Seek me first, and all things will be added unto you. He said, I got you. First of all, the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world, and everybody that dwell in. God owns everything. And nothing that can happen in your life, your shorts, your longs, your problems, your whatever. God, it doesn't take God by surprise. God have a way of turning all things around that need to be turned around. He don't leave no wheel unturned. And that's how he's working in your life and working through you. And he want to use you. And he have a intended and purpose, like Jeremiah 29 and 11 told us. God said, I know the intent that I have for you. Have you sought after the intent that God has for your life, because the Bible tells us that's where our success lies. Do you believe him? He said, I ordained everything I want of you before the foundation of the world. He said, check out Psalm 139. He said, when you was in your mother's womb, I took my hand and I formed your innermost parts. I know the number of hairs on your head. God knew that each and every one of us would be where we at tonight. And he's providing a provision. And he's making a way out of no way. And as I told you before, I didn't go looking for God just like Elijah. God came looking for me. Did I think that I could do it? I wondered. Did I think I was good enough? Nah. Do you think I thought I was righteous enough? No. Do you think I had things in my life that I know shouldn't be there, that even today I haven't got them all out, that God could use me? But it's all about God. And why me? And they say you should actually tell yourself the answer. Why not you? You see, and as this story unfolds, if you really read the 17th chapter, after that, the lady's son died, and the lady is angry because she said, Elijah, you done came here and did all of this. Now God looking at me, and he might be punishing me for my past sin. And Elijah was wondering, maybe because of him not being perfect, that maybe God was doing it because of him. You see, when things happen in our lives, we sometimes start to question our past mistakes. You know how some people say, oh, karma is real. You know how sometimes you say, oh, karma is real. And then, you know, at other times, people say, this is my payback for the things that I did. And then sometimes people think of the bad things they've done is just coming back to haunt them. You see, but we continue. We ask ourselves these questions, our current sins, and even our lack of faith for the reason for our situation. You see, but you got to realize God uses everything for his glory. Your past life experiences was necessary. Your mistakes, your shortcomings, all of that helped you to make you who you are. Every time you hear a lot of people tell a success story on a TV or write a book, they tell you how bad it was and how their life turned around. Many of them don't give credit to God, but he is the one. But God uses those things in your past to help you to be who you could be. That's why in a drug rehab place, most of the time the counselors are past drug addicts, because they could sympathize and they could empathize and they know what you're going through. Always remember that it could be a test. It could be a trial to make you mature, and always for God to get the glory. God always give us evidence needed to trust him. You see, after the prophet raised her son from the dead, see, all this was in God's plan, and he evidently wanted that widow saved and for her faith to grow, and he sent Elijah there. You see, that's what's called working it out together for your good. But you see, after the prophet raised her son from the dead, the widow proclaimed that she too now trusted in the God of Elijah and that his words were the truth from God. You see, God uses circumstances by working all things out for our good. And here he increased the widow's faith. And she also fully now believe in the God of Elijah. Her son fell dead. And she was concerned. Elijah laid on the boy and prayed that God bring his soul back. And God did as Elijah asked. And now the lady now believes. See, all that was for God to get the glory. And I just want you to remember, whenever God does something, don't try to take none of his glory. God said he's a jealous God. And all glory and honor belongs to him. So give God what's properly due him. Because he's properly taking care of you. All the matters in your life. And God is constantly preparing us for all the matters that's going to come in our lives. And we have to remember, we are living in a land of the dying, being prepared for the land of the living. And how you live is how you're going to hear God's voice speak to you when it's all said and done. And it should be everyone's prayer that God be able to say, "Thy good and faithful servant, well done." And that's our lesson for tonight. If anyone would like to tell us something else about Elijah, add to the message, you can press the 1 button on your phone. If anyone else need prayer, I want to add to the list Gregory Kohler. I spoke to him today, and he asked that we lift him up in prayer. Gregory Kohler. If anyone else would like to give anyone name for prayer, you can do so at this time. If anyone would like to say anything or give encouragement, or testify that the word of God is true. When the word of God go forward, if you believe it, if you only say amen, and you may be saying amen in your home, and I can't hear you. But when the word of God goes forward, and it is true, and if you believe it and you say amen, you're touching and agreeing by simply saying amen. But if that's it for tonight, no one has anything to say, we're going to go ahead out with our closing prayer. And I'm going to ask Sister Elyria, Minister Elyria Mackey, to lead us in prayer.
Thank you, Lord. God, we thank you for this very night, oh God. God, we ask that faith would increase, Lord. Because you said faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God, we ask that you would open up the eyes of our understanding, because you say with all thy getting, get an understanding. God, and we ask that we would begin to walk by faith and not by sight, oh God. God, as the widow woman stood on your word, oh God, and as she stood on the promises, God, because your word declares all your promises are yea and they are amen. And God, we just want to be used by you, Lord God. We want to be vessels unto honor, meat for the master's use. God, we're living in perilous times. Oh, but your word declares, God, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you know how to deliver us out of them all. And you said in your word that the kingdom of God suffered violence, but the violent take it back by force. And God, we just come to reverence you, just to bless and magnify your name, because it is at the name of Jesus everything is called in line, God, with your word, and your word is truth. And we just come to bless you in everything that we do, Lord. We want to give you the honor. We want to give you the praise. And we want to give you the glory. And God, I lift up Minister Diane this afternoon, oh God. I thank you for what you're doing in her life, oh God. I thank you for what you have done. And I'm thanking you in advance for what you will do. It is in Jesus' name that I call it all done. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much, Minister Mackie. And if anyone would like to say anything at this time, you could press the one button. And if not, I'm going to say good night. And if it's God's will, we will meet back. And until we meet again, it is my prayer that each and every one of you would grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which increase our faith. So with that being said, I say good night. And if it's God's will, we'll be back on next week. Keep praying for one another. Pray for our prayer list. Pray for our city, our state, our country. And I thank all the other people in the different countries, especially South Africa. I have listeners in China and United Kingdom. I just thank God for each and every one of you. And pray for them as well, the other nations, the other countries. So with that being said, I say good night. God be with you until we meet again. Glory, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen.